Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
I think that those who've been baptized today have already preached a pretty good sermon, so we don't need to follow up with a long one today. But we're almost at the very end of our study of the book of Philippians, and next week we are going to conclude that series as Mike takes us through the final verses of chapter 4. So today I just thought in just a few minutes I'd like to share a little bit of an encouragement to both dads and those who were baptized last weekend. I know from firsthand experience as a dad that following Jesus for the long haul after you've been baptized, that is no easy road. And for the most part, for many of us, not all of us, but for many of us, it's fairly easy to become a Christian. It's pretty easy to become a dad. But the tricky part is staying committed to Jesus and walking with him for the long haul. The tricky part is navigating the ups and downs of parenthood and relationships with your children for 2, 3, 4, 5 or more decades. So in 10 minutes or less, let me give you what I think, based on what Paul has written in Philippians, two practices that will help you stay on course and help you keep your bearings on the journey ahead. And both of these come from the book of Philippians chapter 4 and just two short verses, verses 8 and 9. This is what Paul writes. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, practice number one that will help you stay the course over the long haul. Practice one is focus your mind on the good stuff. Focus your mind on the good stuff. To follow Jesus, to be a dad to your kids, it's going to take heart, it's going to take physical energy, it will mean entering in with your emotional self, but it will also mean disciplining your thinking. And what Paul commends to you and I is to feed your mind on the good stuff, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, right, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think on that stuff. And certainly that is going to mean that we feed our minds with the words in the Bible, the stories, the poems, the commands, the wisdom in this book are designed specifically to steer you to Jesus and to shape your mind so that you can test and approve what God's will is for your life. But the Bible isn't the only place where you can find good, excellent, and noble content for your thought life. As we know, living in this place, the Rocky Mountains, the Bow River, forests, animals, music, podcasts, movies, conversations with other people, beautiful buildings, even just figuring out all how stuff works. Wherever you find it, whether it be outside, in the great outdoors, at school, at work, in the church, on your device, let your mind devour that content. Because everything that is true and beautiful and admirable is ultimately a gift of God that reveals something about his character. On the flip side, it also goes without saying that there is much out there that is not noble, not pure or excellent, that stuff will lead your mind and you yourself in the wrong direction. So sift that out and focus your thinking on the good stuff. The second practice, practice two on keeping you on course, is to learn from those ahead of you and set an example for those who are coming behind. Listen to Paul again. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Now, clearly, Paul considers himself a mentor, and what he says here is really remarkable. He says, look, you guys, you people, you know me. You know my way of life, how I talk, how I use my time, how I relate to others. You know my values. You've seen how I live. Not only that, I've taught you about who Jesus is, what he did for you on the cross, what he taught on how to live a life that pleases God. Now go ahead and put my way of life, put my teaching, put my practices into practice yourself. Which is quite something to say, isn't it? Dads, can you say to your kids, can you say that to your kids? Can I say that to my daughters? Look, girls, you've watched me. You've seen my life for the past 18 years. You've seen my lifestyle. You've heard me talk about who God is and how he calls us to live a life worthy of him. You've seen what I do in private and how I handle myself publicly. It's your turn now. Go and follow my example. I don't know if many of us are going to be able to say that without a few caveats. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, can we not lay down a pattern of living that is worth imitating for people, whether they are our kids or are not our kids, regardless of who they are, can we not lay down a pattern for others to follow? That's the job, isn't it, dads? That's the job, isn't it, Christians? Not just to teach other people stuff, not just to teach our kids stuff and to provide a home for them and put food on the table and tell them to brush their teeth, but to pass on what Jesus has done for you and for them and to model what it looks like for an average Joe to follow after Jesus. How do we do that? Well, you probably need somebody, some people in your life who are like Paul to you. People who are ahead of you in the journey, who know Jesus and have been taught the essentials of the Christian faith and are able to help you navigate your life. These people go by many names: mentors, spiritual friends, accountability partners, pastors, leaders, small group leaders. For me, they have specific names: Mom, Dad, Darren Platt, Dave Warren, Jim Beestrom, Glenn Lowen, Don Neufeld, Terry Mocker, Daryl Johnson. It doesn't really matter what their names are or what label you use. We can't follow through on our baptismal commitments without the help of others who are further down the road than we are. So wherever you are on that road, who do you got with you? And if you don't have anyone, who comes to mind as a possibility? I would throw out a challenge to you. If you don't have anyone who stands in front of you as an example, why not reach out, whether that's online, by phone, maybe have a coffee? And perhaps there are some of you who might need to function as a kind of Paul to someone who is coming up after you. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but you've never actually intentionally invested in someone who is following behind you in the faith. And so I encourage you to reach out and to invest in someone so that we can follow in the example of the generations of Christians who've gone before us. Two practices that will help us stay on course and keep our bearings on the journey ahead. Let's focus our minds on the good stuff. And secondly, let's learn from those ahead of us while we set an example for those who are coming behind. Let's pray together. And if you're with me, why don't you stand? I haven't been able to say that for like months. Heavenly Father, again, we just celebrate your work in our church family, in the lives of some of the families in our church, and the lives of some individuals who are people for whom you well know, for whom you've died. And again, we pray your special blessing on them today. We pray for those who are dads, who are seeking to follow after you and are responsible, who are connected to sons and daughters whom they love deeply. And we know that both of those jobs, both following after you, being a parent, those are incredible responsibilities which go far beyond our natural capacities. And so we ask again for a fresh filling of your Spirit in us. And we know that part of being a Christian is relying and trusting in you to help us, that we don't do this stuff on our own. And yet at the same time, it is a bit of a collaboration. It's not just that we do nothing, we have a part to play. And so for our thought life, for our mental life, what we focus our minds on, I pray that you would help us be people who sift through all the things that we could read or watch or talk about or look at, and that we would choose what is good and noble and therefore build up our minds in a way that focuses us in your direction. And I pray that you would help us be a community of people, not that walk alone, but walk together, that are supportive of one another, that help those who are struggling, that help explain things that are difficult to understand, and that provide a natural example of what it means to follow after Jesus in everyday life. I pray that you would help us be that kind of community, especially in a day when we're figuring out new social protocol and how this all works. Don't let us drift apart, God, in these times, but bring us together maybe in new, better, even more creative ways so that we can all travel in the same direction. Jesus, thank you for being the one who makes this all possible. We pray this in your name. Amen.